So as they leave, would you turn your Bibles back to Matthew 28 with me? Matthew 28. We're going to continue to look at the narrative in this chapter. We're going to go pretty much right toward the end there as we kind of, as we set our hearts and mind on the resurrection of Christ, looking at the truth of the resurrection, then looking at the truth of, because he lives, we live. You know, we sang that a lot, and it's wonderful, and it is true, and it's absolutely, and it's a glorious day when, you know, when he comes to get us, and we're looking for the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? It's our living hope, eternal hope. It's all that it is, and so let's really just look at the resurrection of Christ and the new life that it brought us. Let's look at the narrative through Matthew 28. You there with me? From verses 6 to 7, we saw that Jesus had been resurrected from the dead. Let's read that again. The angel said to the women, verse 6, where he was lying, "Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." The scripture tells us from Romans 4:25, front of your bulletin, that Jesus was delivered over because of our transgressions. That's the cross. Right? He's delivered over, right? He gave his life on the cross, right? He gave us as a sacrifice, as a ransom for many, all the things that we know, that's the cross. He gave himself over to be crucified to pay the penalty of our sin, and was raised because of our justification. And that's such a wonderful thing to talk about for a moment. His resurrection brought to us justification. Without him being raised from the dead, there's no justification of us before God. We can't be justified. Because God didn't accept the payment of our penalty. It all goes together. MacArthur would say it this way. Let me just read it. Without the resurrection, the cross means nothing. For it has no validation. It has no vindication. It has no affirmation. But when God raised Jesus from the dead, he was affirming and validating and vindicating the fact that he had indeed bore our sins in his own body on the cross and has satisfied the justice of God. With his sin bearing, without the resurrection, the cross is meaningless, just another death. And so important for us as we would, you know, we celebrate this day and we would want others to hear our message and to be encouraged. And why don't you guys celebrate the resurrection of Christ? And it is truly, we say it all the time. I heard it 10, 12 times down the hall, you know, as people came in, you know, he lives. Yes, indeed, he lives. All of that. And it's such an important aspect of our lives. Because he lives, we live, and we are justified. Justification means being made right before God, clothed in Christ's righteousness with new life. There's no justification without new life. There's no clothed in Christ's righteousness without new life. It's born again, regenerated, made new. It's a new life that we have. It's Christianity. Justified embraces all of that. J.C. Ryle commenting on this truth, he says this. Let me read what he has to say. We need not wonder that so much importance is attached to our Lord's resurrection. It is the seal and the headstone of the great work of redemption which he came to do. It is the crowning proof that he has paid the debt which he undertook to pay on our behalf. He won the battle which he fought to deliver us from hell and is accepted as our surety and our substitute by our Father in heaven. Had he had never risen from his conflict with the last enemy, how could we have felt confident that he has overcome death? And in him that had the power of death, that is the devil. But thanks be to God, we are left with no doubt. The Lord Jesus really rose again for our justification. That's what meaning being made right before God, clothed in Christ's righteousness with new life. That's why Christianity is visual and keeps going on. It's because the new life in Christ. Christianity isn't a religion. It isn't a thought. It isn't an intellectual thing. It's a real based in faith in the Lord, faith in the truth of Jesus Christ, which brings a resurrected life to you and me. And that's why it continues, and that's why it's true, and because God carries it through the testimony of those that have been saved. We're going to look at that today. But J.C. Ryle goes on and says, "True Christians are begotten again unto the living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, so they may boldly say with the Apostle Paul, who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yes, rather, that he is risen again." Praise the Lord, right? The story continues. Look at Matthew with me. It continues where Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of the Apostle James, respond to the angel, verse 8, and they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and they will see me. There they will see me. If you met him then, what would you have done? Can you imagine the excitement? So the two women, in my heart, I see, ran to tell the disciples to meet Jesus in Galilee. And if you look at verse 16, as the narrative continues, it says this: then the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus has designated. When they saw him, they worshiped him. But some were doubtful, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Tremendous amount there. But I want to point to a few things here. Romans 10, 9 and 10, and I'm paraphrasing, tells us, "To those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, confessed him as Lord with their mouth, repented of their sin, and believed in their heart that God had raised Jesus from the dead, are saved and have new life." Baptism symbolizes the new life we have as his disciples. Jesus commands them to be, after they become disciples, after they believe, after they've trusted in Christ, after they put their faith in Christ, after they confess with their mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart God has raised him from the dead, after true saving faith has come, after born again, being regenerated, made new, after the new life, go baptize them. That's what baptism is all about, responding to Jesus' call to be baptized as true disciples. Romans 6 really describes that new life that baptism symbolizes well. Would you turn your Bibles there with me, and we'll finish with this, and then we'll get on to the baptisms. But Romans, the Apostle Paul, is speaking about our new life in Christ, and beginning in verse 3, you're there with me. The Apostle Paul says, listen to what he says in verse 3. He says, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death?" Now, that's a dry baptism. The word better here is immersed, right? And from verse 2, he says, you know, we're not going to continue in sin. How should we continue in sin? We died to sin. We don't live in sin anymore. And he says, "Or do you not know?" It's kind of sarcastic. It's like, you guys should know this. Don't you know that in your new life in Christ, that in your belief, that your trust, your faith, what God did, God immersed you into Jesus Christ. You were baptized into his death. That's what he's saying. You've been immersed into Christ, immersed into his death. He died to sin. We died to sin. He died for sin. We died to sin. Look at verse 6 and 7 down a little later. He says this: "Knowing this, that the old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died is free from sin." So sin is no longer our master, our Lord. Before salvation, before faith, before being born again, regenerated, made new, before confessing your Lord as Savior, before believing in the resurrection of Christ, before that, every human being is enslaved to sin. According to the Word of God, every single one, nobody's good enough, nobody's righteous, they're all enslaved to self-satisfaction or self-gratification. So what happened in Christ, sin no longer is no longer our master. We died to sin, is what Paul says. We died to sin slavery. That symbolizes in baptism when you go down in the water. And this is what baptism is. This, I'm already saved. I'm already born again. It's being symbolized what's happening when you go down in the water. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I'm giving testimony to the salvation found in Christ. That's baptism. That's what it symbolizes. I died to sin. I died to living for self. I'm giving a testimony to people that I'm with. That's me. You're going to hear them today. Now look at verse 4 and 5. The Apostle Paul says, therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into his death. That's immersion, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Verse 5, for or because if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, he died for sin, we died to sin, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So you were in your salvation, raised, resurrected in the newness of life, immersed in Christ Jesus with new life in Christ. That symbolizes in baptism as you come up out of the water. And that's what we're doing today. And so they'll give testimony of what that means to them today. And this is the Apostle Paul talking about what really happened with the truth, what happened in our life, which is symbolized in baptism. Now look at verses 8 through 11 as we finish. Paul says, now if we have died with him, or with Christ, anybody doubt that you died with Christ? If you're born again, believer in Christ, new life in Christ, raised, resurrected life, new life, your old self died with him. You died to sin slavery, you died to sin being the master of your life. We believe we shall also live with him, absolutely, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died for to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider or reckon yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's our truth, isn't it? Right, church? That's our testimony. That's why we live. That's why we sing. That's why we worship. That's why we submit our lives to him and the truth of his word and his life and are obedient to God through being guided and led by the Holy Spirit through the word. That's why we submit our lives, surrender our lives, because this is true of us. This is true of every believer. Death has lost its sting. It doesn't control us. We get a little fearful, we get a little worried, but we sang about it, right? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. I mean, this is just the reality of our life, yes. Death has lost its sting. We shall always live with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are alive to God with new life in Christ, and the life Jesus lives, we seek to live. Amen to that, right?